Hey, fannies, it's Andrew, half of Hey Kids Comics, the show that you are listening to on the Jedi Cold Network. And I'm not here to present a podcast to you. I'm here to actually talk to you a little bit about an upcoming event. And to join me, Kelly Long, guest of the show, and kind of big kahuna for this thing. So, Kelly, what are we talking about?
Hey Andy, thanks so much. So, what is coming up in the Boonshoff Museum of Discovery in Dayton, Ohio on June 21st and 22nd? We're going to have a geek prom and a geek fest. So, the geek prom section is on Friday night. We're going to have dancing, we're going to have live music. It's 21 and up, and it's $20 to get in. You get a drink, and you get some snacks, and you get to support the museum. That is the fundraiser section of Geek Fest. Geek Fest is the all-inclusive day. It's going to be from 10 to 4. We're going to have kids costume contests, the planets of Star Wars and the planetarium, the planets of Star Trek. We're going to have a new space exhibit that is debuting that weekend of Geek Fest that I can't really talk about because it's super secret, and Klingons and way more.
Super excited about those Klingons, by the way, ladies and
I
gentlemen. Super excited.
Super.
And where do people buy tickets for this bad boy?
To catch tickets for the event, you have to go to www.boonshoftmuseum.org. You can purchase tickets for the event. You can purchase raffle tickets. And if you want to feel like you may, if you feel like you need to make a donation to the museum, you can also do that there too. We are a nonprofit, so this raises money to help feed the animals in our accredited zoo, to keep all of our natural history collections intact, and to be a service to the community.
Also, you get all of that and you get to feel good about yourself. That's amazing. And I'm going to be there hosting costume contests and doing trivia and just generally being a jackanape about town. What's not to
You can't
love?
miss it.
You can't miss it. Come down to Crazy Andy's. Get some pizza. See a Klingon. Don't touch a sloth. At the Boonshoff Museum. June 21st and 22nd. Buy the tickets on the website that I can't remember the.
www.boonshoffmuseum.org.
That's the one, ladies and gentlemen. So now we're going to throw you back to your regularly scheduled programming, but don't forget June 21st and 22nd. June 21st and 22nd. June 21st and 22nd for Geek Fest. Going to Geek Fest because it's the best they got Klingon. So bring on the fun. I added another line to the song. Inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent. Your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics. What is up, fannies? This is Hey Kids Comics. I'm Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Yes, indeed, and I'm bringing the fanny for the fannies.
Bringing that fanny for them fannies. Yeah, we're a little late this week. Sorry about that. It's been a crazy week, but we are here, coming off of a two-part Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu series, I guess we're gonna call it. Two-hander
Yeah.
to talk about something that Cole brought up. Cole's wanted to do this one for a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, this has been, in fact, when I was looking at some of the old archive, the plotting that goes well into like 2022 now, there was actually a title I'd forgotten about, which was More Machine Now Than Man. And I'd forgotten about that, came up with another title, which being me is naturally derivative. If you're familiar with Red Dwarf and when Lister was trying to fight the Vindaloo creature, he had himself turned into what he called Man Plus. And I thought, what a great term.
Man plus.
Man Plus for basically being cybernetically enhanced. There's a lot of, you know, we did a whole issue, probably have touched on this many times, about augmentation by, you know, means of armor or other technology, exoskeletal type of technologies. But I wanted to talk about the sort of melding of man and machine.
Right.
Because at that point, you no longer are truly one or the other. And while, like, say, a robot like Machine Man, the aptly named Machine Man, is only a robot that might, you know, aspire to some semblance of humanity, a man is a man, you know, as Popeye would say, I am what I am. But then, you know, the augmentation becomes a permanent part of yourself, and I wanted to explore, what does that do to the human side of you? And many writers have done that very well. Other writers just say, there's a cyborg.
Right, right. You got a cyborg. That's what we got now. But I do think that there's been, you know, if we look at history, you know, in the grand arching scheme of history, as a people, we have been obsessed with this idea of technology serving our evolution since the beginning of time. You know, that's, if you want to look at the main catalyst for evolution when it comes to mankind, is technology. So, you know, as soon as we could start slapping things on ourselves,
that's
to
true.
To become more than we are, we have done that. As soon as we could put glasses on to fix our eyesight, we did it. As soon as we could put fillings in to correct our teeth. I mean, none of these things are, at that point, were computer, you know, related, but
or mechanized
watches, you know, those type of things were the beginnings of this transhumanist movement that I think it's one of those frog in a pot situations where it's been happening so slowly that I, you know, conspiratorially, I would sit here and tell you that we're already there as a people now. But of course, comic books being what they are and taking,
when you know that they, you know, microchip you at birth.
Well, sure they do.
So that they can watch you.
But I mean, how much have we, for instance, Cole, for instance, the Cole with the flip phone, and I've known both of these Coles, the Cole with the flip phone is different than the Cole with the smartphone.
And which is different than the Cole with the brand new Google 3A.
The Google Pixel, right. But that's
Google
what
Pixel
I'm saying.
3A. Yeah, I'm like, holy shit, I've entered a larger world with this thing. I've also discovered if you smile too big, you put everybody on mute. So fuck you, Google.
but that's exactly what I'm saying, right? Comic books being that kind of extrapolary mirror that we always talk about them being when it comes to sci-fi, you know, aliens, you know, the big alien scare, are we alone in the universe, you know, then all of a sudden everything was science-based, right? When it was, before that, it was magic-based. They're going to take the idea of transhumanism to the omega of what it could possibly be it scary, be it exciting, you know, whatever it is. And I think that that's something that they've done with androids, like you said, the Machine Man, or the original Human Torch, even back in those days, up until now. But cyborgs are just a really cool concept that I think deserves a full episode of this show.
Oh, exactly. Now the in the real world, and I'm trying to find this, which will be near impossible. But there was some guy who had like hardwired cameras on his eyes that were like wired into his brain or at least wired into his body. So it wasn't like a glasses he could just sort of, it wasn't like Google Glass where he could just take it off and put it in his pocket. and he was accosted someplace because, you know, people felt like they were being overtly watched, and somebody tried to pull the apparatus off of him. He was trying to explain that it doesn't work that way. You can't just
right. It's a part of me. And it, yeah. That's the thing that we're talking about here with this is we're not talking about an Iron Man, even though Iron Man's a little bit different case because he does have a, you know, a thing inside of him.
Yeah, but he does, but it's not as intrusive as your traditional comic book cyborg, the bulk of which seem to be cybernetically enhanced on a left lateral bias.
Yeah, you were mentioning that, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong about that.
It's just like, are there any that are right lateral bias? I'm not certain.
Just what do you think that is?
The only thing I can think of, and it's a huge perhaps, is, you know, maybe conceptually the mind is ever working because anatomically, one of the only things we don't have a pair of is left oriented, and that's the heart.
Okay.
So that maybe there's this subconscious literal bias toward the left.
All right.
And I'm not sure if it's a right brain, left brain corollary in there at all, because that's an iffy kind of...
You're drawing lines.
Yeah, the science on that may be a little off. We may as well just bring back phrenology at that point. But
hey, I will measure your head anytime, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. But could you at least do some timpanning while you're at it? Because I'm just silly for timpanning.
Crack that thing open like an egg, buddy.
Skull left. That hasn't been excised, but
I will crack that open. Spot
you can still kind of scrape a little square out of. Poke around in there a little bit, just.
But no,
fun.
But I think to speak to your, you know, camera guy, right? There are more and more stories of things like this happening. People that have, like you said, people that are legitimately getting like RFID microchipped, and people that are having, you know, subdermal implants done with things like magnets and things like that so that they can attach things to themselves. This is a coming thing that's actually we're seeing happen.
So you could actually, like, you're talking about like maybe like having something attached to your skull that you can put, like, hang in there kitty cat magnets on
maybe
your face?
Maybe on board, hang in there kitty cats.
So like if you have a subdural subcutaneous magnetic field plate or something, and you're a woman getting pregnant, you could put a baby on board.
Yeah, you could flip those out however you'd like. Yeah.
All right. Or you could even do like that if you're really ambitious and like, you know, adventure ride.
Goddamn.
You can hurl a fillet knife, Sonny Chiba style.
Yeah, you just reverse. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can
like you're Hitori Hanzo in the sushi restaurant. Just roll that knife on and sticks to you.
Or you don't even need to. Let's say you're a chef.
Oh, there you go. You just have your implements handy.
Slap right on your forehead. Just pop, 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 and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
No rat necessary.
That's awesome. But yeah, so it is definitely moving in that kind of direction. So it's pertinent. It's pertinent that we as sci-fi, you know, sci-fi needs to explore this now more than ever because we're getting closer to a point where, you know, people are interfacing at a brain machine level with, you know, Google or whatever cloud storage, the internet, you know, is going to happen. So
you could actually it's going to get to the point potentially where something could cross your mind and you don't even have to say anything. You just simply have to reflect, you know, God, I wonder what it would look like to, I don't know, see Elan mating on the Veldt. And it would appear via YouTube in your brain.
Yeah. Or just...
On your
TV. If you... You know, you could have a monitor specifically, especially if whatever you were connected to just through the purposes of RFID was, you know, hooked up to whatever smart home device you have.
Yeah.
It's going to be able to recognize that thought pattern or that series of cognitive, you know, firings.
Well, and there's also different levels of new Google Brain.
Oh, is
marked
there?
As, let's face it. Some people really, really need one.
Well, there's also going to be the thing that says, let's face it, you're a 45-year-old man, but you also need parental controls on this.
That's right.
We don't need you firing that off to your computer. It's just, that's not a good idea.
Bob.
Already?
Can you switch that off at all when you're at work?
So what characters do you want to talk
about?
I didn't realize
Elan mating on the Veldt was on YouPorn.
It is. You'd be amazed at what's on there.
It's like, in the animal husbandry section.
The Watergate hearings.
Yeah. I tell you, some people just get really turned on by vintage politics.
Politics. All right, who are we talking about? Let's get into the actual characters.
We are going to talk about, we're going to do a kind of an overview of cybernetic characters in comics, because there are a lot.
There's some really cool ones, too. Yeah.
But then there are a handful that, at least to my personal knowledge, and that's all I'm bothering to work with, are those that, where the writers have taken a serious exploration of what it is to be a cyborg.
Sure.
You know, and what does that do to a person? And we also have an honorable mention that you, that Andy brought up.
Because,
you know, frankly, we got to cover this.
And it's one of those that I still think, I thought we had an episode lined up for, and I don't want to give it away, but I thought we had an episode lined up that was kind of along the lines of, this, but we can talk about that later. But let's get into it now. So where do you want to start this?
I think we may have, because I've got like I think there's like 150 or more episodes that are already pre-scheduled. This is what, 315?
This is 315, yes, I believe. 314, 315, something in that realm.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it's 315, so we are 18 issues away from one that I'm very much looking forward to.
Just wait for episode 666.
Well, we couldn't wait, so...
We're going to get there.
Yeah, we will get there. And that's going to be huge. But...
we're going to get there.
I'm going to just say right now, episode 666, which will be in 2028.
9 years from now.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere March, April corridor, depending on breaks, is going to be The Devil Made Me Do It.
And we're waiting 9 years to do this. Yeah,
that's right. And if I'm wrong in my calculations, which were not even really calculations, quite frankly, then we'll just hold that issue.
Right.
Until that date. But, yeah, I think you may be right, but there was a was it a Image book?
Where are you going?
We Three.
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about that now? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to do an honorable mention, because this is Man Plus, not Animal Plus.
Well, you do know.
I'm Merlin Perkins with Cybernetic... Visual of Omaha's Cybernetic...
It was Vertigo.
Vertigo, okay.
And it was written by none other than Grant Morrison, so of course I'm going to pitch that to be brought up. But the artists were Frank Quitely and Jamie Grant. So the art and the actual, here's the thing: you get Grant Morrison, you get somebody who's going to take an Alan Moore stance on what it means to be a cyborg, what it means to be, you know, whatever it is. I mean, he did a lot of really solid work on Robot Man for Doom Patrol too. So this is something that he's delved into, but the most important part about this is what, Cole?
Well, for one thing, it's sort of like, you know, if you took H.G. Wells' Island of Dr. Moreau and melded it with Martin Caden's Cyborg from 1973, which is the novel that became The $6 Million Man.
Right.
And Caden was actually hired as a consultant, and I think they only ever called him one time for an episode of The Bionic Woman. But, so, you know, it was like free money. But yeah, if you took the sensibilities of those two things and brought them together, you get We Three.
Well, We Three is not about... I think it's hard enough to imagine, because here's the top layer of what we talk about when we talk about cyborgs, is a person... Something happens and a person becomes a cyborg. Usually, it's not by choice.
Yeah, most often, you go on a call, and Clarence Bodiger shoots your hands off. and then you're having to fight Ed 209. That's
right.
Usually how it happens.
Usually you wake up and you're a cyborg for somehow. Or you die and you come back as a cyborg, as we'll discuss later. But
go to like the crappy remains of your old house with they're still trying to sell, but nobody's watered the plants. So
you were stuck in
A lot of the curb appeal was lost in that movie.
Just stuck in RoboCop land now. In most of them, you have human being become cyborg. In this, you take it to another level because you have a dog, a cat, and a rabbit.
Yeah.
That
silly rabbit.
That not only are given cybernetic implants, but they're also given the ability to communicate through those cybernetic implants. So you are creating this thing where you're taking animals and anthropomorphizing them in about the biggest way possible and giving them cybernetic implants.
Yes.
But of course they're animals, you know. So,
well, they're lent a kind of Moreau-esque sentience. Because apparently if you dick around with animals enough, they get pretty damn smart.
We learned that.
Yeah.
You would think we would have learned that by now. But so immediately upon escape from the facility that they've been cyberized in.
Yeah, then they go all number five alive on you.
Yeah, they just want to go home. They've decided they want to go home.
And then it becomes like the super science version of the Fantastic Journey or whatever the hell, Incredible Journey. I can't remember which one's which. One of them's about shrinking people. One of them's about a couple of house pets trying to get home.
Well, yeah, it's like Milo and Otis or what is it? but imagine Milo and Otis with like Law's rockets and lasers.
Imagine Milo and Otis melded with Battle Cats from Saturday Night Live. Fire! Fire!
So, I think that is an excellent way to begin the exploration, because not only are you trying to tell the story of what it means to be, you know, what it means to meld machine with man, but you're also telling the story about what it means to meld machine with pet.
Yeah.
You know, and how do they think, and what would their core primary objectives be?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to, by law of nature, quite literally be obliged to instinct.
Yeah, 100%.
More, and then when you move up the evolutionary scale, as it were, when you get to man and you create man plus, instinct was eons ago replaced with insight.
With reason, yeah.
And now you have a human being who is more than human, but inexorably linked to that. They can no longer – I think Tony Stark was a good example of the earliest inkling of the cybernetic human, in that he is, at least in the original mythos, tied to the – whatever, was it the arc reactor from day one, or was it?
I don't think it was the arc reactor in the comics.
I think it was sort of like, electronic heart thing.
Yeah, let's just call it a nuclear pacemaker.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. But no, you're right, because then you're relying on the cybernesis, and I think this is an important. So here's the core for me. Like, if we're defining a cyborg versus an android or versus the Google Glasses person, right? Somebody who just uses technology, do they need the cybernesis? Do they need the technology to live? If the answer is yes, I think you become a cyborg. Like, Cyborg from DC.
Yeah.
Needs the cybernetics to live, because he was essentially dead before.
Oh, yeah, before his parents got dicking around with him.
Right.
I mean, they literally, RoboCop was a ripoff of the Teen Titans.
Oh, God. Okay, go down it. Go. We got time.
I just realized.
I want to hear it.
Okay, now I have to confirm this, but I think RoboCop ripped off Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
Let's go. Run it down for me. Let's take the beats.
So, Victor Stone gets pretty much obliterated to mostly dead.
Yes. Yeah. And then he's 99% dead, yes.
Yeah. But instead of the Miracle Max Miracle Pill, he gets the modern version, which is having the left lateral bias cybernetic implants.
You got to.
Yeah. In fact, most of his original self, much like RoboCop, is replaced by robotic cybernetic fiddly bits. First appearing in DC Comics Presents number 26, October 1980. I need to do the RoboCop challenge here.
Write it down. Hashtag RoboCop challenge.
All right. Let's see what the RoboCop 1987. By God, Verhoeven, you bastard.
You bastard, Paul Verhoeven. You son of a bitch.
You sick son of a bitch. Yeah, but essentially what happens is, was it Silas and Eleanor Stone decide, you know, we've got the technology.
Never trust a guy named Silas, by the way.
That's so true.
It's a bad idea. Keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So, yeah, he basically body destroyed, replaced with cybernetics, and struggles with being the, you know, semi-robotic monster, and also struggles with the fact he was an athlete and, you know, was one of these people who was pushing himself to new human heights.
Sure.
As that was a thing for him. And I remember very distinctly there was a really cool issue of Teen Titans where he was challenging the limitations of his cybernesis, because he was afraid that he couldn't push beyond,
yeah,
in the way he could push his people body beyond its limits.
Right.
And, you know, trying to be like a, was a West German or East German Olympic athlete back up to the like 90s or whatever. And he actually is able to, using some kind of like danger room hydraulic press, like the giant version of the Three Stooges letter press, and is able to actually break a very expensive piece of equipment by pushing everything he had become beyond its factory specs.
I think what's interesting to me about Cyborg, more than a lot of the cybernetic characters, first of all, they really just went for it with the name Cyborg. They didn't use too much creativity in the naming.
Vic Stone was an accomplished athlete. He was not an accomplished comer upper.
He wasn't a marketing guy. Yeah, apparently nobody in his family was into marketing.
He's hanging out with Nightwing and Jericho and Terra and Starfire and
Beast Boy.
Like Changeling, and as he was known by then.
Yes.
It's like Cyborg.
I'm Cyborg.
That's it. But in all fairness, and you brought this up before the show, we need to talk about the premier Cyborg of DC Comics.
Well, I just want to say this about Cyborg.
Oh, yeah, please do, because what we just said about Cyborg plays very heavily into our next topic.
Is that, you know, the interesting thing about that character is the story that you tell when you're telling the story of a cyborg that's a hero or a villain or whoever is what it means to be human.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about Cyborg, the character, I know it's this is difficult because we're doing a show about cyborgs and there's a character named Cyborg, damn you DC, is that not only is it what it means to be human when it comes to that character, but it's also what it means to grow up and, you know, mature. And also, if you read any, you know, if you read the comics, there's a lot of it where it's Silas Stone was a demanding, almost absentee father because of his work with Star Labs and because of his work with in the sciences, did not show him a lot of attention or appreciation. But after he becomes Cyborg, shows Cyborg a lot of attention and appreciation. So what does that mean? You know, is his father, the scientist, more interested in the cybernetic side of his son, or is it the son? And there's a lot of really great exploration. I think you were talking, Byrne was the main kind of linchpin in the Cyborg.
I think that especially Marv Wolfman, Wolfman during the Wolfman and Perez era.
Yes, I'm sorry, I had Byrne in there, Wolfman. You know, Wolfman was sort of, and we've said this about Wolfman before, is that Wolfman had an uncanny knack, especially with like your Teen Titans, to explore youth in a way that a man of his age should not be able to. And I think that I don't think it shows really, it doesn't will out any further than it does with Cyborg, because you've got other things like, you know, you got Robin and what it means to be, you know, living in Batman's shadows, which is a fun story to tell, but you don't really get the what it means to be human when half of your humanity is based in, you know, whether it's, you know, apocalyptic tech or, you know, new god tech or just something that your father came up with because he had a half a cyborg laying around.
Yeah,
and you were dead. Like,
yeah. Luckily, you died on the left half of your body.
Right. So
it's kind of weird, but
that's a really cool conceptual thing.
I appreciate that because Cyborg is one of those characters that got a lot of personal exploration.
Sure.
Going down. In the comics and elsewhere. So you were probably given the opportunity to really see what it's like to be a cybernetic being.
Yeah.
Through him. And the struggle, both, you know, the personal struggles with being at least partly more than man, but still a man. And you see that borne out through his friends with the Titans and a wonderful character whose name escapes me in the cobwebs of the past. He had a girlfriend who was a really cool character as well. There's a wonderful story where she gets his ass outside and they go ice skating. And he may be able to, like, you know, pick up microbuses and hurl them at the at Deathstroke the Terminator, but he was not very adept at ice skating on those cybernetic legs.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got that whole...
And there was a cutscene from RoboCop.
There was a goddamn cutscene from RoboCop where he was ice skating.
Yeah, and it thankfully didn't pan.
It didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
There's a Verhoeven cut of him doing that somewhere. All right, sorry to interrupt, but I know that you had wanted to go on and talk about
Oh yeah, absolutely, because you brought this up was, of course, the equally unimaginatively named Robot Man.
Robot Man. Bobot Man, yeah.
Because what is a cyborg
if not
the melding of robot and man?
Robot Man. Oh, God, robot. I love it. Cliff, old Cliff Steele.
I mean, where is the irony? That's Otto Octavius level irony right there.
I do love, it's a character that I absolutely love. Cliff Steele is, and mainly because I love me some Doom Patrol. And Cliff Steele was a linchpin character of the Doom Patrol. And was the first, kind of recognized as the first published cyborg character in comics. It was 1963, Arnold Drake and Bruce Permanente, God, I can't talk.
Kaiser Permanente?
Yeah, Kaiser Permanente. My brain went. It's been a long week.
Kaiser Sose Permanente is the one you got to watch out for.
I do, however, think that Robot Man was named by Kaiser Sose. He's just like, and who did it?
Well, the greatest trick that Robot Man ever pulled was having a crappy name.
Jesus. Oh God, why can't I can't think of anything. I just went completely, my brain got trashed. The guy in charge of Doom Patrol.
Goddamn it. Niles Calder.
Yeah, thank you. Calder was sitting in his office and he was like, he looks at the little tin robot on his desk, robot, and then looks at the guy, man? Robot Man. Yes. Robot Man. That's who did it. But yes, so Robot Man in My Greatest Adventure 80, which is the most comic book anthology comic book name ever, in 63, he was introduced. His alias known as Automaton, of course, why wouldn't it be? But he's an interesting cyborg because he's got a fully robotic body and only a human brain.
Yes.
So the only part of him that makes him a person is the gelatinous matter that makes us all run.
That's right. The big lump of 60% fat that generates enough electricity to run a 20-watt light bulb, yet is at the core of everything we are as people. Unless you were in ancient Egypt, in which case they didn't know what the hell the brain was for, so they just tossed it out. They literally, in the careful preservation of the organs of the dead, there was no canopic jar for the brain. They just whipped it up, drained it out, and threw it in the trash.
That's awesome. Sorry. I enjoy that.
Like, it's not awesome for the cyborg industry in ancient Egypt, is it?
Okay, if there was a cyborg industry in ancient Egypt,
that's why there wasn't.
I guess you're right. It's a chicken and the egg scenario.
Indeed. Damn, they would have kicked some ass.
They would have made some awesome cyborgs.
Moses. We got
cyborgs.
Right. We got robot men, and we don't even know what that means.
30 days and 30 nights whooping your ass. Cyborg Man. Oh,
God. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
What were we talking about?
No idea. Robot Man. And in fact,
yeah.
Robot Man, old Cliff actually had it easy. Because he's somebody, perhaps Cliff himself, somebody had the good sense to put Cliff Steele's brain into a robot body. A robot body with a head and a Tin Woodsman mouth and a blue thing on his chest for reasons.
Yeah, nobody knows what that thing's for.
Yeah, was it like an early Walkman? I don't know.
It's one of those fans, sort of those air conditioning fans that you wear now around your neck when it gets hot.
Or maybe it was like to keep all the mechanisms, like the fan on your computer.
Maybe.
It was, there you go, it was a cooling fan.
Sure.
But he had all of that in a bulletproof body of a robot that otherwise would have just been a regular robot with, like, microchips inside of its head.
Sure. There,
you can put the brain of a robot anywhere you want to. Right. So you really treat it like a LoJack and put it in different places in each robot. So he's got it easy by comparison to the founder of, who was it? The Brotherhood of Evil.
Damn it. I knew this was going to happen.
None other than the Frenchman with a plan to preserve his brain in a plant stand. A Halloween plant stand. It's like, of all the things your incredible mind could do, you put your brain inside a pedestal.
Well, it's one of those too smart for your own good situations. Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those robots that supposedly was going to go around Walmart and do shit. And
clean up the spills and shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's where they got Walmart ripped off the Teen Titans. It just keeps happening.
It just keeps happening.
Okay. But yeah, the brain.
The brain.
Who hangs around with a beret-sporting gorilla that's been marauded into sentience.
You know, let me ask you this.
Apparently, he was apparently a red state gorilla.
I've got... Damn it. I got some smart gorilla DC questions that I need to have answered. And this
is
a good
form
for that.
Yeah.
So, my question for you is this. I can name, what, three or four... intelligent gorillas from probably Gorilla City. Are you happy to be the, like, third smartest gorilla? Or is that piss you off? When there's only, like, three smart gorillas. Do you follow what I'm saying?
That's true. I mean, there aren't a surfeit of smart gorillas.
But there are, it seems like, just enough smart gorillas.
Well, there are, and, you know, Grodd throws the bell curve for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
really
the thing, right? Like, he really tosses the grading curve.
Yeah, he's that guy that, you know, comes in the second semester of your junior year and knocks you down to fifth in the class because somehow he elevated three other people. I don't know exactly how that happened.
The troika of...
Yes. He was tutoring everybody but you. I did not do the math on that very well.
It's all right. This isn't a math podcast, Cole.
Thank God for that. That's my new math podcast. Math is hard.
Math hard podcast.
Math hard podcast.
Join us next week for more math hard podcast.
Brain has the distinction of, because you can actually, unlike Robot Man, you can actually, not only did he put his brain in a damn pedestal, in an umbrella stand, he put it under a glass dome, forcing everyone to look at his gray matter all day. And it's not like the Gamesters of Triskelion. It doesn't have, like, lights and sounds and FUD. It's just a brain... in a jar.
But it rolls.
Well, that's true, but, you know, and then sometimes, like, Mammoth would play practical jokes and put a sticker on it that says Abby Normal.
But my other car is Robot Man.
That's right.
That's not a good joke. Don't laugh at that.
No, that is a bad
think
joke.
Think about what you're laughing at.
Puts the baby on board magnet on his chassis.
On his head there.
It's a damn baby on board magnets back.
God damn baby. Who keeps bringing that thing around? But yeah, so that's... I like Robot Man because he was the first. And it was... You know, it's an... So imagine the problems that you had when you were Cyborg trying to figure out if you were... You know, what it meant to be a person with half of a robot body. But your entire body is a robot body. You are literally a monster.
Well, you know what I want to see? I want to see a character that's a robot to start with gets catastrophically damaged and is forced to wear the right half of a human being.
They figure out a way to transfer his robot brain into a human body.
Exactly, but only half of it. And that way he still has the traditional left bias, and he can pass for a cyborg, but he's really a robot. And the thing is, most people don't realize. And he goes to like the cyborg bars where robots aren't normally allowed.
I'm waiting for you to run this to ground. He goes to the cyborg bars. All right. Yes,
indeed. And then somebody finds out. That's the story I want to read.
Write that. Write it.
I'm damn sure going to write that. I'm going to write that one with the ghost dinosaur webcomic I promised 10 years ago.
So, speaking of left-right bias, and this only should be allowed, I don't even want to really dwell on this, okay? But Cable.
Funny thing, I was actually looking at an image of Cable just now.
Cable definitely has the left-right bias, but he's got like a techno-organic virus that, I guess technically, yes, he's a cyborg, and I'm sure that people will tell me he's a cyborg, but I don't really...
Oh, so it wasn't like somebody came and fixed him up, he just like got a bad bug from...
Yeah, he was in the future, and to save, you know, just he got... like a weird Ultron virus up in himself, and like it was a whole thing. But he, I don't really want to dwell on that. But yes, he because he's a different kind of character. His character is based more. His cybernetic thing is based more on him spending a lot of his. The way that they took him away from being something that could completely destroy the world, because he's, you know, the Dayspring, he's the son of Jean Grey and Cyclops, and he's one of the most powerful mutants. He's a Jean Grey level telepath. To introduce this cybernetic virus, this techno-organic virus into himself, and he has to spend the majority of his telekinetic, that's a thing now. Sounds like an 80s, sounds like somebody that opened for Ultron Cafe.
Like a French song that nuns sing?
It probably.
Telekinetic.
He spends enough of his telekinetic. On keeping that at bay so it doesn't take over his entire body and just make him into a robot that he can't use it then.
Okay. So this practically was on the verge of becoming a man robot.
Yeah, exactly. A man robot. A man robot. A telekinetic, if you will.
That's right.
So I didn't really want to dwell on old telekinetic over there, but
yeah.
But it deserved a fair mention of telekinetic.
He inevitably comes up on
any search
cybernetic sweeps, cyborg sweeps and comics and stuff.
It's my favorite game show with Guy Fieri.
And I think I'm gonna have to look now because I think we may have a right lateral bias character.
Is it Stryker?
Yes.
Right lateral? God damn it, Image. Sure. That's how you know Image is just trying to be cool. You know, they're trying to break the norm. Yeah, he is a right lateral bias.
Yeah, I start trying to envision the, like, and then, you know, somebody has to be dickish about it and not only, like, give him cyber arm, give him three cybernetic arms.
Yeah. They gave him that. That way he can really play the piano.
Yeah. It's just like he can play the piano and the organ simultaneously.
God damn it.
Well, he did briefly go on tour with Elton John.
He is the tiny
man. He plays a mean Yellow Brick Road.
He's Levon.
Oh.
Did you know that?
Well, I got recently, you know, with the Rocket Man coming out and all, there's a lot, you know, influx of new Elton John products, and I got the new Levon conditioner.
Oh, did you? I got the Levon deodorant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are great, great products.
They are. You must leave Levon.
on.
Tinkle leaky leaky.
What the hell was that?
It's your stupid telekinesis.
That was like a Don Ho song or something.
It's becoming a Don Ho song. All right. That's just what it is. It's happening. Like,
damn you, Stryker has the right bias.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough.
No, no. He was a member of which group? Was Stryker a member of Wildcats?
I think he was.
Oh, God. Is that right?
No, Cyber Force.
Cole.
That's just asking for cyborgs.
Why haven't we talked about Warblade and...
Oh, yeah.
Cyber Force.
Edward Knifey Hands there.
I forgot or blocked out in my research for doing this show all of Cyber Force comics. So, here we go. Strap in.
I mean, he's like the cyborg with a mega mullet. And it's like, what, did we have, did we over-order on right arms? Is that what we're to take away from this?
Also, like, why don't you give him an arm coming out of his back then?
Yeah.
At that point, it doesn't matter. Like.
Exactly.
Like, you're just strapping shit onto other shit at that point. Like, ballistic, psi blade, heat wave, impact, rip claw, striker, and velocity. Ripclaw. Do you remember Ripclaw?
Yeah, that was that...
Wolverine, right?
No, that was that show. It was like a detective show, and they had a helicopter.
I'm confused.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Riptide.
Oh, yeah. Sure, Riptide.
They didn't have a helicopter. I'm thinking of Magnum P.I.
I will say this for Ripclaw, though. One of the very few Native American superheroes.
Oh.
Yeah, that I will say for him. Him, Red
Bull,
Shaman.
I realize that, because he had the whole Kabuki look going on.
The early stuff was definitely Kabuki-esque. Nowadays, he's kind of shed the Kabuk, and he's...
Well, it's kind of like that interim period when Kiss got rid of the makeup.
That's not a good period. that was literally what I imagined the Reavers from the X-Men look like.
Oh, and good segue there. Boom, yeah, drop. Mic drop. Balloon drop.
Balloon drop. God, it's been a while since there was a good balloon drop on this show.
Well, it's been a while since we've had comic book Bernie Sanders on the show.
Balloon drop. Yeah, all of the Reavers. There was a period of time, and it was weird because it wasn't like the ninjas, but there was a period of time when cyborgs were just... For like a year, were everywhere and then gone.
Everybody was a cyborg.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, because
the Reavers had like cyborg dogs.
Well, there was a guy with half of a tank tread. You want to talk about bilateral?
Bonebreaker.
Yeah, you want to talk about bilateral?
Yeah, they just like what? He was clipped in twain there. He got the serious Darth Maul action going, and then you're like, you want some cybernetic legs? Because we can do that. We put three arms on one guy.
I mean, we got this guy over here with three arms. We could just take your brain out and stick it in a body. He's like, no, no, no. What I really want.
Well, they also had cybernetic dogs. We three ripped off the X-Men.
But yes.
But
the
seriously,
Reavers.
Bonebreaker actually rated a Toy Biz action figure back in the day.
It was an awful Toy Biz action figure.
And I actually found one at one point on the cheap because I wanted to use it to make a custom figure of one of my characters that I created. Back in the day, my friend Steve, who's been on the show a few times, sure. He and I were writing letters back and forth and trying to create our own universe. And I just went nuts creating characters. And granted, I was trying very hard to create a lot of characters. And most of them weren't good. But I got this insulting letter back about how bad these characters were. And it included, you know, why don't we have a group called the All Losers Squad? And the All Losers Squad eventually grew to the point, I drew the cover of the first issue of the All Losers Squad on a piece of typing paper. Because I'm old enough to call it typing paper, because that's what it was back then. And it snowballed from there to the point where we had six titles: the All Losers Squad, the Wimpy Warriors, the Lukewarm Legion, the Canny T-Men, the Teen Weenies.
The Teen Weenies.
And the Atom Family. One of the members of the Teen Weenies was based on... I didn't know about Bonebreaker at the time, but it was based on Cyborg, with his lower body as essentially a tank chassis with treads.
Okay.
And the character's name was Attaboy, which stood for All Terrain Armored, taken from the Empire Strikes Back AT-AT, boy. Sure. So the AT-AT became Attaboy.
That's funny. That's awesome.
It looked like Vic Stone from the waist up and looked like Bonebreaker from the waist down.
But I mean, do we consider... Because I don't consider, like, Lady Deathstrike...
I don't consider her a cyborg, because as far as I know, she's more of a mutant who had
the Wolverine treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I don't really fold myself into that.
Apparently, Ladytron from Wildcats gets a lot of coverage on these kind of lists. I don't know anything about her, so we're going to skip her.
Well, we need to start thinking about wrapping this up anyway.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We're encroaching on an hour, so we don't have to talk about Ladytron.
Another cyborg, which may or may not have been just a brain in a robot body, but I think he started life as a cyborg. And depending on which source material you use, animated or comics, he was either left or right bias. And that was Talo, the man with the kryptonite heart. But I do want to touch on a couple other characters whose, you know, humanity within the cybernetic was, you know, part of the vernacular of the character over the years, and that's Deathlok.
Yes, let's close on Deathlok, because that's a good one. That is a good one, yes.
Well, let's close on Deathlok, but I do want to give honorable mention to one comic book character, because it existed nowhere but in the comics. Started life in Marvel Comics Star Wars back in the 70s.
Okay.
And apparently is back.
Oh, really?
Marvel Comics in the damn near 2020s. And that is none other than Valance.
Valance.
Valance was a character who was revealed to be a cyborg. He's a bounty hunter who's after our heroes, and he hates droids.
I know this character, yes. Okay, keep going.
Belert Valance. But he was pretty much just known as Valance. He ran around in a kind of body armor with a little Punisher lapel pin.
Yes, yes.
And ultimately we find out why he's just got such a hate on for droids is because he's a cyborg. And so he's very much like Will Smith in iRobot adaptation. Yeah, so...
That's cool. Yeah, okay, I know who he is now. Yes.
Yeah, we have to give some coverage to Valance. Apparently, C-3PO had some robotic hand in changing his attitudes toward droids. And yes, we need to talk about Deathlok.
Yes, Deathlok is a
very curious character. He's from the future of the Marvel Universe. And like anybody, nobody can stay the hell in their own time frame.
No, you got to do some time crimes, buddy.
That's right.
You can't just leave well enough alone. You got to do some time crimes.
So, got to do a time heist.
Time heist.
Time heist.
Grandfather time paradox. Heist.
Time heist drop.
Time heist drop.
Yes, Deathlok apparently started out his life in Astonishing Tales and is this sort of cybernetic killing machine. The remains of one Luther Manning who, damn it. Astonishing Tales number 25 came out in 1974.
So
Teen Titans ripped off Deathlok, which got ripped off by RoboCop, so ultimately Verhoeven was ripping off Deathlok.
I would rather him rip off Deathlok.
Yeah.
to be honest. I think
the analog is closer there anyway. Because, and I remember encountering Deathlok, I think, in Marvel Team Up with Spider-Man meeting Deathlok.
Right.
And that way Spider-Man met everybody.
Well, Deathlok's a cool character because Deathlok is dead. Deathlok is a zombie.
Yeah, he's essentially dead, but his brain's, like, alive enough, and it interfaces with an onboard computer with that new Google Brain.
Right, that we were talking about earlier.
Damn it! Google ripped off Deathlok with their upcoming Google Brain. Their Google Brain that doesn't come out for, what?
50 years.
Whatever year that the episode 266 comes out. Right. Or 666. That Hey Kids Comics 666 comes out. He's basically just a weaponized zombie cyborg.
Yeah, but for me the coolest thing, because I got, you know, big ups to Ollie's, because I picked up the first cyborg. It's in the other room where I'd grab it. The first Deathlok issues that were collected into a, you know, one of the Marvel omnibus style books. And the coolest thing for me is, yeah, he's from the future. Oh, I got it right here. It's, yeah.
Did you just like Reed Richards it or something?
I did. I left and you didn't hear me. It's my Google Brain. the Doug Mionick and Rich Buckler Deathlok, the Demolisher series, which starts with like Astonishing Tales, I think 25 and 70, and then goes on from there. But you get the origin where he's from the future, he's sent into the past. But and it's a cool. By the way, if you haven't read these, they are cool ass comics. They're as inventive with what they're doing as just about anything modern, where they're kind of writing over top of panels. But the cool thing is, he was never supposed to have dominance over the robot brain. The robot brain was in control. His brain was technically supposed to be dead. But he gets dominance over the robot brain periodically. They have a symbiotic relationship at one point where the robot brain is very clinical, you know, and he's an assassin, and it's very much just kill this guy. You know, this is how many seconds it's going to take to get there. This is how much PSI it's going to take to crush his windpipe type of stuff. And then he's very New Yorkian, you know, in his conversations with the robot brain, you know, like yelling at it to shut up and things like that. And you get the word panels back and forth between them, and that's
he's always referring to it as pooter.
Yeah, exactly.
Or pewter.
But that's, it's a really, really inventive, cool book to read too.
Yes.
And the other cool thing is they never humanized him. They never made him more human. He's always a dead ass guy with a half cyborg body. Even in his team-ups with, like, The Thing, even in, you know... I do not, however, like what they did with him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because they did make him too human and not enough cyborg. Go on, I'm sorry, I didn't want to run you down.
No, that's perfect. In fact, you probably have more knowledge at your fingertips, as it were, and more recent exposure to the character than I do at the moment.
Well, it's always been... He was in some of the cartoons, you know, that they used to run, and he's always been one of those characters that was really, really dark, but they'd always try to, like, give him to you in, like, really weird ways that it's supposed to, you know, in lighter ways. Here's Deathlok, he's dead and has a half-cyborg body. It's like, no, that doesn't work. All right, why don't you final thoughts us up, because we've been going for an hour and I didn't even realize.
Oh my goodness, yes. Well, part of the reason that this got bumped where it did in the queue is we had just done a follow-up episode where, you know, we would have been doing the follow-up episode on Shang-Chi, with Shang-Chi as a man brought to the highest potential of man.
Yeah.
And I thought, what better to follow that with than literally Man Plus?
Yeah.
Where, you know, whether your aspiration was to be the pinnacle of the human condition or not, you suddenly got $6 million manned up against your will.
You got Verhoeven'd.
Yeah, that's right. God, now I'm wondering what Flesh and Blood was ripped off from. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you go from, I wanted to kind of travel down that path.
Sure.
In comics. And to talk about just also some of the conventions of the cyborg in comics, not the least of which is the almost ubiquitous left lateral bias.
You love that left lateral bias, and it's weird. It's weird that it keeps showing up.
Yeah, it just struck me as I was preparing for this show, something that I think was always there in the back of my mind, not necessarily really bugging me, but certainly in my thoughts, that, what the hell?
All right, my man. Well, why don't we wrap this up? You can plug us up, and we'll get up out of here. And we will join them. We will join our fannies next week for more Hey Kids. But what do we
Absolutely.
Got?
Absolutely. Well, everybody, we are coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe, JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCU Mail. So we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at Jedi Cole, JCU Mail at Yahoo.com.
Yeah.
You can listen to me ramble on right now. You can also do other things. You can watch, if you can't, just haven't already had enough of me, the first and third Sundays of every month, you can check out myself and Eddie Medina on the Rancor Pit Live on DallasOnAir.com. First and third Sundays of every month, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central, preceded on the third Sunday of the month by my other show, Isle of Toys, where we talk about all kinds of cool toy stuff. Coming up in July, we're going to do a double feature where Isle of Toys and Ranker just flow right into each other. And we're going to have on as our guests the authors of a really cool book about the acquisition of the Star Wars license by Kenner.
What?
In the 70s, and the development team that made the Kenner Star Wars toys happen.
That's insane. I was literally 3 days ago looking to see if there was a, because I live
an hour away from there. Yeah, in Cincinnati, Ohio.
And I was
Cincinnati is where Kenner was based back in the day.
Yeah, and I was wondering if there was a toy, like either a museum or a tour or something down there for their, you know, for what they were doing, and there just isn't. So,
oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so these guys had actually tracked down some of the surviving developers and people that worked on the original project and have published this amazing book about that. So we're going to...
that's really cool.
We're going to explore that with them. And also, coming up next week in Arlington, Texas... No, I'm sorry, in midnight. Let me get this correct. Maybe if I knew a place where I could go for conventions, right? In Texas. Oh, that's right. Go to cap-tx.info, the home of the Convention Awareness Project, Texas. If you're in Texas or you want to go to conventions in Texas, I try diligently every year to cover all of the more than 100 fan-type conventions and shows in the Lone Star State. And coming up real soon, as they say, when John Warfin asks when we're going to Planet 10, DFW G.I. Joe and Action Figure Show in Grapevine, Texas, the great guys who put on the show, which started out as like a little bitty tabletop show in a church center, now is at the Grapevine Convention Center for 2 days, the 8th and 9th of June.
Oh, they added a day.
Yeah, they've been 2 days for a little while now, and the Rancor Pit will be there as guests of the show yet again this year. They keep inviting us back. And the following weekend, we've been invited back after a one-year absence to ArlingCon nice. On the UTA campus, the UTA Student Center in Arlington, Texas, on the 15th of June, where Eddie and I will be presenting a panel in a galaxy far, far away where we talk about the enduring legacy, the phenomenon that is the Star Wars.
Very cool.
So be sure and check that out as well. Those are two stops on our soon-to-be-announced 2019 Rancor Pit Live Roadshow Tour, or Summer Roadshow Tour. We decided to make that every other year. You may remember we were at Famous Monsters, at Infinicon, we were at the G.I. Joe Toy Show. We were at ArlingCon, as well as some store appearances along the way. So we're really excited about bringing the road show back and taking the whole experience on the road.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Speaking of on the road, The 21st and 22nd of June at the Boonshoff Museum of Discovery, Geek Fest is going to be popping off. We are bringing that trivia, that Texas trivia to Ohio.
Don't lose your geek card, Ohio style.
Ohio style. Trivia is all written. We're getting to work on making it, putting it all together, and it is going to be live for you. That is the 21st. The 21st is 21 and up. It goes at, that is an evening geek prom situation, and the 22nd is all day for all of your family and friends needs.
And fannies.
So get out there and come and enjoy it. It's going to be incredibly fun. It really, really is. And you can find us on the Instagrams and on the Facebooks and on all that goodness at HK Comics Show. And other than that, Cole, I think we are just ready to get ready for next week. Do we have any idea what we're doing next week? Are we gonna figure it out?
I think I'm gonna spin the big wheel.
Spin the big wheel, baby.
And we'll there's so many. Different things that we were going to be looking at, and I really I've not settled on which one we want to play with next, and we're probably going to do another standalone, maybe two, and then we're going to go back into a brand new story arc.
Heck yeah, I'm excited. All right, well, you say goodnight, I'll say goodnight, and we'll let these fannies go back to fanning it up. So goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Read them comics.
Just them comics, though.
Them comics.
Don't read anything that Paul Verhoeven stole.
That's right.
Which means you can't read anything, apparently.
Damn you, Verhoeven.
Damn you, Verhoeven.